The Search for Solutions to Utah's Winter Pollution episodes has focused on industrial smokestacks and the tailpipes of cars and trucks. But homes and businesses represent a big and growing part of the problem. KUER's Judy Fays has been finding out more about what are called area sources and why it's so hard to cut their emissions.
Nasty paint and solvent fumes used to be the norm for Anthony Gallegos here at ACS Precision Auto Body Shop in Salt Lake City.
We had a solvent-based paint system.
Then in 2014, Utah regulators followed California's lead and required body shops to switch to paints and coatings that are water-based or lower in solvents. Now Gallegos uses new coatings, sprayers, and drying equipment.
Water-based is the newest product that they have that is completely compliant with any kind of emissions. So we opted to go primarily with water-based.
Gallegos won't clean up Utah's winter air single-handedly. His shop is among hundreds of thousands of homes and business buildings in northern Utah that add to pollution. These area sources, as they're called, collectively produce about 39% of the emissions that turn the valley's air brown for weeks at a time. The Utah Division of Air Quality estimates that's around 125 tons of pollutants a day.
All you got to do is look outside, you know. I mean, personally, right now, I can taste the air, and something's got to be done. It's terrible out there, you know.
DAQ scientists have found that it's not just soot particles making the air unhealthy. Patrick Berrickman's technical analysis team says two gases have a huge impact, comprising up to 75% of winter smog. One's volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, that come from burning gasoline.
But also another source of those come from evaporating compounds from things like paint thinners and things like that. And then the third one are what we call NOx, oxides of nitrogen. Burning natural gas is a large source of NOx, as are automobiles.
Recent clean car, clean fuel regulations from the federal government are expected to cut NOx emissions from cars dramatically, and controls are being phased in on industry. Meanwhile, Berrickman and the DAQ are zeroing in on area sources.
So as regulators, then, we really want to find out which of those components are the most problematic so that we can focus our controls on those ones, because we could focus our controls on a component and a lot of money could be spent. It might not really do that much good to solve the problem.
New regulations went into effect in 2014 to tackle all three main ingredients of winter smog. They cover wood burning during high pollution times and low VOC consumer products like window washing chemicals, hairspray, paints, and adhesives. But high costs put possible controls out of reach for some businesses, like coffee companies, pizza ovens, and barbecue restaurants. Dave Brogue operates Utah Coffee Roasters. He opted to make the investment anyway.
I feel like I just walked into a coffee bag.
Yes, that's what it smells like in here. This is my baby.
Brogue got a grant from the Utah Clean Air Partnership to help him update his roaster.
This is our pride and joy. What separates this roaster from what we've used in the past and what most coffee roasters use is the same flame that's roasting the coffee is also incinerating the smoke. And so outside of the very last puff, it's a smokeless roaster.
This equipment is cutting the pollution from Brogue's roaster by 95%. That's thousands of tons a year.
I think in the end, we've got too many people in a small area, and we're going to have to figure out ways to be cleaner.
But dealing with pollution involves basic values that some people see very differently. Last winter, hundreds of Utahns came out to protest a seasonal ban on wood burning as a violation of their rights. And lawmakers sided with builders who complained about other area source controls, like requiring low-emission water heaters beginning next year. Robert Groh isn't surprised about the controversy. He leads the governor's Clean Air Action Team and the planning think tank Envision Utah.
People feel very deeply about their health. People feel very deeply about their right to be free, to make their own choices. And so, yes, both sides are emotional.
Groh says area sources are forcing Utahns to rethink their ideas about air pollution. He says we don't count the rooftop pipes releasing furnace exhaust that becomes PM2.5 pollution.
We are all sort of trapped in our paradigm that if we can see a big smokestack and it's got stuff coming out of it, it matters more than 100,000 or 300,000 or 500,000 small smokestacks in the valley. And so we're not used to thinking about this as it's my house, it's my car. We're more used to thinking about it's somebody else's problem because they have a big smokestack.
Back at the auto body shop, Gallegos is grateful for the state grant that helped him make the changes. He's grown to like the new coating system and the cleaner air.
It's not just our place to live, it's everybody's place. And, you know, the population's so big now, it's like we really have to be conscious of it. If we don't want our kids sick or our relatives or us, you know, we gotta really think about stuff like this. And I think, you know, I think everybody should do their part in every way they can, so...
Sorting out these powerful questions of personal choice and politics will be critical as Utah's population grows. By 2050, the number of area sources is expected to double and to produce roughly two-thirds of northern Utah's pollution. Judy Fays, KUER News.